Thessalonians chapter 4, one of the most amazing doctrines in the Bible is the doctrine of the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. When you found that, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Let's just read it there, and then we're going to look at some other scriptures. First Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a strange thing that is. So you ought to circle the words caught up, because that's where the word rapture comes from. Now, here's the truth, okay? When you think about the rapture, understanding what is the rapture, normally when we die, three things happen, all right? The first thing is your body becomes dust. It begins to decay and you have to bury it or else it's going to stink. The first thing that happens is your body becomes dust. Secondly, your spirit goes back to God. Now, your spirit is something that God gave you so that you could relate to Him, so that you could talk to Him, so that you could be born again. Now, the spirit is eternal, but it's on loan from God. You're a tripart being, body, soul, and spirit, but your spirit goes back to God. That doesn't mean you're saved, but that part of you that He meant to fellowship with you through is like if somebody, if your parents gave you a phone and says, now use that to talk to me while you're down in town. But it's His phone, right? Your parents' phone. And then ultimately, when you're finished doing your business in town, you turn the phone back over to your parents. And that's what our spirit is. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. Ecclesiastes, right after Psalms and Proverbs. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12 and verse 7. So where does your body go? What happens to your body when you die? It immediately starts to decay. It is a miracle that you're alive, because you should be dead. It is not right that you should be living, breathing, thinking, walking, talking, running, eating. That's a miracle. It's called life. But the moment you die, everything begins to decay. The blood separates. All the bowels begin to leak. Everything. Your skin begins to become taut and rip. And oh my goodness, if you wanted me to describe what these... one of the guys who deal with cadavers, huh? Morticians. I'm going to say beautician, but a mortician. What a mortician has to work with, okay? But your body begins to fall into pieces. It begins to decay. Your spirit goes back to God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. Let's see. I'll go ahead and have somebody read this today. I'll start with this side. Shane, if you'll read Ecclesiastes 12 and 7. Speaking of death, and I like how it talks about in verse 6, the silver cord be loosed. Talking about this thin cord of life that's just holding us together is let go. Verse 7 there, Shane. Nope, Ecclesiastes 12. There you go, verse 7. All right, our spirit goes back to God. Just like it says your body's going to return to dust, your spirit goes back to God. That's everybody. You know, here's a person who says, I don't believe in God. Well, God gave you. He lit you, the Bible says. He lighteth every man that came to the world. He gave you something so that you sort of go, I wonder if there's a God. I wonder what's He like. I wonder if somebody created this universe. God put that in us. And then it goes back. But then the third thing is, your soul separates from this shell of a body, and it either goes to heaven or it goes to hell. Let's go to Luke chapter 16, and I'll have you read that one for me. I'll come back to you, Ori, in a moment. But Kevin, if you'll read, because your voice is just so tiny, I've got to make sure I can be hearing it. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 23. Luke 16, verse 19 to 23.
Inside us, and not the day of the day,
So you got two people. One of them dies, and he's carried into the lap of Abraham. Just laid there, and Abraham says, "How you doing?" He goes, "Much better." The other man, the rich man, dies, and there's not a full stop at the end of verse. Verse 22. He says he died and was buried, and that's called a semicolon. And it says, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes." So the moment you die, normally your body becomes dust over time. Your spirit goes back to God and your soul separates from the body and you end up either in heaven or in hell. Not purgatory, limbo, or in Argus. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, Ori, do you think you can read verse 6, 7, and 8 for me? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8, real loud, which is going to be impossible for you, I know. So, are you at home in your body? Where do you live right now? Don't say Middleton. Where does the real Ori live? Kind of a crazy thought when you think about it. But you're living in your body. That's where you live. But one of these days, normally when people die, they leave their body. And they're present with who? What happens when you do say goodbye to this body? What happens to you? You're present with the Lord, okay? So, now, that's normally. But you know what a rapture is? A rapture bypasses that entire process. It skips the whole deal, amen. Because a rapture is the rapid transportation of a person from this life to heaven without dying. And I like that. How many of you want to die? You ever thought about how you would like to die? You ever thought about that? No. I don't even want to think about it. I want to go up without dying. Amen. That's what the rapture is. Now, in Latin, when we talked about, you know, a catching away, let's see what's next here. Rapture comes from a Latin word called rapturo, probably Italian, which means to seize upon. What was the illustration that I used this morning about the rapture? I had Bozzy up here, remember? And Bozzy, she had a purse in her hand, and I snuck up on her, and I went, "Boo, can I have your purse?" No, I didn't. I came along, grabbed that purse, and ran off. Because that's what the thief, Jesus Christ, is going to do one of these days. He's going to reach in and snatch us away. That is the rapture. And let's look at some scriptures here just to see this thing. First of all, we saw in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it refers to it as being caught up. But look at Philippians chapter 3. Go to the right from 2 Corinthians. I've got 2 Corinthians. I don't know if that's... Yeah. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Philippians 3. All right. Colette's going to do it. Or do you want to read it? No. All right. Colette's going to read Philippians 3, 20 and 21. That's it. So what is he going to do to our... Now, he calls it a vile body because he knows how many problems he has with it. How easy it is, tempted, and so on. But what's the Lord going to do to your body and my body as a believer? He's going to change it. So the rapture is not just taking, now we used the verse this morning, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, right? So you as you are ain't going. So you got to get changed. All right? John 14, verses 1 to 3. Brother Tony. John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Let not your heart be troubled, but believe God, for the Father's Son. If my Father's heart will be manifested, if your heart is so, I will go. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go on to prepare a place for you, I will come again and keep you unto myself, that where I am, there you are.
All right. Now, here is called a receiving of the believer. He says, I'm coming to get you to me. That where I am, and where is Jesus saying we get to go? To heaven. We're not coming into a war at that point. We're going home to mansions for a little while. I mean, you talk about a holiday. I'm looking forward to that. And it's a receiving of the believer to Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:5. Hebrews 11:5. We'll come back to this verse again. Let's see, Paul, if you'll read Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, speaking of Enoch. Wow. So Enoch was translated. Now, we use the word translate when? When do we use the word translate? When you're going from Filipino to English, right? Go to Tagalog to English. We translate, which means you take the meaning in one language and transfer it to the meaning of another. Now, God translates the real me from here to there. Now, my skin's not going, but the real me is going. In 1 Corinthians 15 now, let's see, Marlene, have you got 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52? Nope, 1 Corinthians 15, 51, there's not more over. 51, 52. Good, all right. So whatever this rapture thing is, it happens so fast, nobody's going to be able to tell. It happens in the twinkling of an eye, and we are changed. Now go to Song of Solomon. I showed you this. I love this scripture. The Old Testament is filled with examples or shadows pointing to the rapture. Song of Solomon, if you get to Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, just before Isaiah is a little book called the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 8. And Tess, can you read 8, 9, and 10 slowly and loudly? Alright, now here's what, listen, who are Christians compared to? Are we compared to a mother-in-law? We're compared to a bride. And here, this bride is saying, my beloved is coming and he's skipping along the mountaintop. Alright, now only Superman can do that unless he's Jesus. So he's leaping along on the mountaintops and he shows himself, and his words to his bride are, come with me. Come away with me. And that's a shadow, foreshadowing of Jesus coming to get his bride to take them away with him. Now there are loads of scriptures we're going to see tonight that refer to God snatching away his people, sometimes before judgment, sometimes just because he wanted to, like with Enoch. And sometimes he will gather people together, not from judgment, but to judgment. Now, there are 7 raptures I found in the Bible, and they're not all the same event. Some people try to force all the raptures to be the same. As a matter of fact, I have found people that have tried to make all baptisms in the Bible the same. I'll give you one guess how many baptisms there are in the Bible. 7. So when somebody is reading along and they see baptism, they try to say, baptism, you need to be baptized to get saved. Just look at them and go, are you not a reader of your Bible? There are 7 baptisms. Which one are you talking about? There are 7 raptures. Now 3 of them happened kind of a long time ago. Way back before the flood was the first one. Then at the time during the prophets, and then with Jesus. But there are 4 remaining raptures that are yet to happen, just bang, 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 right after each other, all surrounding the tribulation. And they describe God's intervention into human history. You know, would it be nice if God intervened in our life and kept us from dying? I bet you he does it more than we think. But one of these times he's going to come along and take us. The Bible says, and with Enoch it says, for the Lord took him, and he was not. And let's find out what his purposes are. Father, we just bow and ask you to teach us some things tonight. Make us students of the Word and lovers of your Word and lovers of the truth, so that we live like there's something bigger than what we're currently going through. There's a bigger plan, and we want to be a part of it. Lord, we want to get some more people involved in it and part of it, because there are some raptures that people who are unsaved are going to face, and we need to save them from that. So bless this study tonight to every hearer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, there's 7 raptures. Just going to go through them. First one is Enoch, Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Ediberto, would you read Genesis 5, 21 to 24? Hold on, wait till the rest of us. Some of us are old. Genesis 5, 21 to 24. And go. That's wild. So it's not like he died. Now, if you'll watch carefully in your Bible, look there in chapter 5, and I want you to see verse 5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he what? Died. Look down to verse 8, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And look at the end of verse 11, and he died. And then the end of verse 14, and he died. And verse 17, and he died. Verse 20, and he died. Verse 24, he was not, for God took him. Here's a new thing. All of a sudden, in this line of people, they live, they have lots of kids, and they live long, and they die. But with Enoch, he was not, for God took him. The first rapture in the Bible. We have it explained in Hebrews. Aren't you glad for the New Testament? It says for that he was translated, that he should not see death. Our first rapture is found before the flood with a man named Enoch. He's a unique man. This is the first man to be raptured in heaven in the Scriptures. He did not die. He just disappeared. What a way to go. What a way to go. I mean, if I could go, that's the way I want to go. Some people wish for death. Amen. I understand it. I don't want to die. I'd like to be in the rapture. I think Paul wanted to be in the rapture. Do you? He said, then we which are alive, not you out there in history. He says, then we which are alive, I hope I get to go too. So, Enoch is the way that you and I are going to get to go as well, by the way. Second one. Anybody want to take a guess of who's the second one in the Bible? Let's see. Elijah. All right, 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And let's see. Maridel, I actually want you to read verse 9 to 11. 2 Kings chapter 2. Get there myself. Elijah's walking along and he's got his sidekick, Elisha. You always wonder where the Hollywood and Marvel Comics comes up with all these ideas. They got it from the Bible. Elijah had an Elisha. Moses had a Joshua. Paul had a Timothy and a Silas. Here, Elijah had Elisha. And Elisha wants to be near the man of God. And Elijah says, you know what? I need to warn Elisha that I'm not going to be here all the time. As a matter of fact, you know, Elisha, why don't you go on about your business? Don't worry about me. And Elisha says, wherever you're going, I'm going. I like that. All right? So 2 Kings chapter 2, start in verse 9 there, Maridel. So does Elisha know he's about to disappear? Does he know he's about to be taken away? What do you think? Yes, he does. Look at that verse again. He says, before I be taken away, what do you want that I do unto you? What would you like? All right? And Elisha says, I had a double portion. Whatever spirit is on you, I want on me. Now verse 10. So if you get to see me go, then know that you've got a double portion. But if you don't see me disappear, then I'm sorry, I can't guarantee that you got a double portion. He didn't think that God would give him a double ability. Elisha had great miracle ability. And Elisha says, let me have double that. And Elijah said, that's a hard thing. But if you see me go, then evidently God has answered your prayer. Now one more verse there, verse 11. So where did Elijah go? Into heaven. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this thing like a jet comes in, and it's a chariot on fire. So it's not a normal chariot. All right? This thing's sweeping down out of heaven. It comes up. Elisha's standing right next to Elijah, but the Bible says like a whirlwind, or let's put it in the vernacular, like a Hoover. Something sucks Elijah straight up into that chariot, and then Elijah lets go of his mantle, and that falls right down there into Elisha's arms, and Elijah is gone in a blink. So normally, chariots and horses don't burn with fire. Not normally, okay? So we're dealing with something. Did Elijah die? Yes or no? No. He went up to heaven without dying. This is a rapture. Now, it's not quite like you and I are going to go. But it was good enough for Elijah. Amen? I mean, I don't have to go first class. I just want to make sure I go. Amen? So Elijah, he goes. The Lord Jesus doesn't come and get him. The Lord sends a limousine, I guess is what it is. Whatever you want to call it. But one day, let me be real clear. One day, Elijah will come back and he will die. Oh, but let me tell you, this is crazy. Think about it. Who is it that just we're talking about here? It's Elijah, right? Think about how much fun serving God is. Elijah here goes up in a rapture. Was that cool? I think that'd be awesome. God's going to have Elijah come back during the tribulation. And you know what? Elijah's going to die. Oh, terrible. Not really. Because he's going to resurrect, and then he's going to get to go through the rapture again. We're going to see it. That is so cool. What's your hand up for? Yes, sir. Oh, good night. Under the Father, but by me. He went to paradise. But he went up into the sky. He went up into heaven. What was visual. But no, he didn't quite. You can't go to heaven yet at that point until Jesus Christ. He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he went to paradise. But he went up first. But God wanted to give them the understanding that they didn't go to hell. Because if Elijah went like that, it would have been a terrible thing to see for perception. Does that make sense? All right. Always a Barry and a Nathan back there. All right, anyway. Elijah has a rapture. Number three, Jesus. Go to Acts chapter 1. Let's see, Tony, would you look at Acts chapter 1, verse 9? And down to verse 11. Acts chapter 1, verses 9, 10, 11. Now, what are we looking at? We're looking at the raptures in the Bible. What is a rapture? Somebody tell me, what is a rapture? It's a catching up, a catching away, but it's more than that. It is escaping death. It is the rapid transportation of somebody from this life to heaven. That fast. So Jesus, Acts chapter 1, verse 9, 10, 11. Go ahead there, Tony. Alright, here's a 33-year-old man, Tony. What has he just experienced a little over a month earlier? Yeah. He died on the cross. Rejected by his own people, crucified by the Romans, put in a borrowed tomb, sealed, and four soldiers sat out there protecting a dead body. 3 days later, he comes out of that tomb, and he shows himself very much alive, doesn't he? So he's around for 40 days, and then after 40 days of going around showing himself, and he's not 40 days going around dealing with people. He talked to people on the first day of the week, by the way, only on Sunday. He would show himself, and then he'd disappear after that and wait for another week before he'd show up. What was he doing? Weaning them off of him. He wanted them to, as Christians, to continue to gather together, continue to learn the Bible, continue to go out into all the world without him having to physically be there. So he's sort of spending a little time with them before he goes where? He goes up. So here is a rapture. It is, we call it his ascension. Now I have to admit, this was not rapid. Would you agree? I mean, they see him going up. I mean, it had to be something where all of a sudden, whoo, he's going up. And they're standing there watching him go up. So the Lord sort of slows things down. One of those fancy cameras you can hit the slow on, you know. And so that they could get the picture. If he had just disappeared, it wouldn't have been valid. Remember when he was walking along the road to Emmaus and he meets two disciples and he talks with them along the way. Remember that? After the resurrection. He sits down with them, breaks some bread, and he prays and he says, thank you, Lord, for this meal. Their eyes were open. As soon as they realized who it was, what happened to Jesus? He disappeared. All right, so Jesus can't just disappear. People are going to think, well, he went to America, and he's preaching to the Indians there. You know what I'm talking, that's the Mormons, okay? No, he didn't disappear. He visibly, physically ascended. It was a slow rapture, if you can understand. Okay, all right, so that's Jesus. Now, if you want to look, Matthew 27, we don't have time, but in Matthew 27, verse 50, it talks about the Old Testament saints. They get resurrected, and they go up with them. So it must have been a sight, because as he goes up, all of a sudden they look around, and they see a cloud of bodies all going up and gathering up as they go up, because he's taken all of the Old Testament saints to heaven. The next group, who's the next group? After Jesus, when's the next rapture? No. Who's the next rapture? Us. This is the church age saints. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's look at it again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Dina, if you would read verses 13 to 18. Down to 18. Yeah. Now, this is very comforting. So who was the first, without looking at the notes up here, Dina, who was the first rapture?
Enoch, good.
After Enoch, goodness, it must have been 2,000 years later, maybe a little more, who's the next one? Elijah, without looking at the list, all right. The next one was Jesus, that block, all right. All the way down the next, I mean, it's a long time, 2,000 years now. We're looking at all the world events, and what is it that we're looking forward to that Paul was looking forward to in his lifetime? The rapture. So it could have happened at any point. It hasn't, but it could have happened in Paul's day. It could have happened in the Dark Ages. It could happen tonight. The rapture of believers in this dispensation called the church age. Don't forget this. In John 14, Jesus comes to get us to take us to his Father's house. That is a different rapture than the raptures we're about to look at. Because when the rapture occurs, I'm going home with Jesus. I'm not coming to a battle. What's going to happen? I don't have the diagram because I thought it'd get too complicated. I just want to talk tonight, but when we get to heaven after the rapture, there are two things that will happen for the believers. What are the two events that will be going on in heaven while all hell is breaking out on earth? What are the two things that will happen in heaven? The judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we're going up in the rapture to experience that, and all hell is going to break loose on earth. So let's see when the next rapture occurs. Revelation chapter 11. Now Dennis is right. Oh yeah. The picture is of the bride of the Lord, the bride of Christ going up in the rapture as one body unto Jesus Christ. That's the rapture of the church age saint. But the next one, two people, only two get raptured. Revelation chapter 14 and 11. Sorry, why do I have... Oh, yeah. Revelation chapter 11. Yeah, I missed my page here. Verse 3 to 12, Gina, if you don't mind. Revelation chapter 11. Now hold. Do you know how long 1,260 days is? 3.5 years. 42 months. Exactly half of the 7 years of tribulation. They get out, they're going out there preaching. They're prophesying every day for 1,260 days. Verse 4. They're pretty indestructible. They're the original Avengers, superheroes. They're pretty amazing. Okay, verse 6. Now, these two guys have great ability. First one's able to stop it from raining. Who was that in the Old Testament? Elijah. And the other one's able to turn water into blood and to bring plagues all over the planet. Moses. So we know who the two witnesses are, all right? They're Moses and Elijah. So they're coming back. Keep going. So where are they going to die? What city is spiritually equal to Sodom and Gomorrah, but where our Lord died. It's Jerusalem. So they're going to be killed in Jerusalem, verse 9. So the whole world, every tongue, nation, kindred, and tribe is going to be looking on television going, they're dead. They're still dead. Ha, ha, ha. Verse 10. Wow. So what just happened there? What would you call that? Resurrection. If you know anything about Revelation, you know anything about end times, they're going to use the guillotine a lot because they're going to have their heads cut off. That's how everybody dies for some reason during the tribulation. These guys' heads roll back on top. You don't really want to think about it, but that's what's going to happen. They're going to stand upright, and it's going to cause great fear. The whole world's going to be watching. Only in our age can the whole world watch and see live action 5-10,000 miles away. Keep going. They win. So how many get raptured there? Only two. All right? But these are the two witnesses. They're Moses and Elijah. Where is everybody? If Christians are there, if there are Christians, where are they? It says, verse 10, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. If I was alive and I saw a great prophet of God who was preaching the truth slaughtered on television, what would it make me do? Grieve. I would be going, that's not right. But that doesn't list it here. It says the whole world will make merry. They'll go gift buying. They'll make a new holiday. And they'll give gifts one to another. There are no Christians at this time. Because we're all gone. And their enemies will follow them straight up with the cameras. What a way to go. I mean, Elijah gets to have more fun than we do. That's not quite fair. He gets to go up, and then he comes down, he dies, resurrection, gets to go up again. He says, can I do it again, Lord? The next group. You know who's the next group? They are believers in the tribulations. Go to Revelation chapter 14. Also, need to look at Revelation chapter 7. Let's see, Weston. Revelation 7 first. Revelation chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Is anybody going to save Weston in the tribulation during the time of great trouble? Is anybody going to get saved? Yeah. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. More than we can count, okay? Do you know, Europe is only a small part of the world. I mean, there's from Ireland to Moscow, there's nearly 800 million people. But that's all. You know, that's only 10% of the population. There's another 6 billion people out there in the planet. And a lot of them haven't gotten saved yet. And so when the tribulation hit, Europe is almost abandoned. And people are going to get saved. They're going to be out in the deepest, darkest areas. It's not like nobody's going to get saved. Read Revelation chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14, Weston, please. So that's a great, I like it. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's where the song comes from. And now, when do they get saved? What time frame do they come out of and get saved out of? The time of the great tribulation, okay? So there are multitudes, although as you read along, it says, who are all of these? And they are people who get saved during the tribulation. But, chapter 14 now. Two more raptures, which might shock you. Revelation chapter 14. By the way, again, I don't have my chart. There are no Christians. I wish I had my whiteboard because it would be a whole lot easier. Sometimes taking charts takes so long. But there's a rapture of believers now. And after that, there are no more Christians on the earth. But God always has His witness. God always has somebody preaching. And who are the ones that will show up and will preach for 3.5 years while nobody else is listening? Who would that be? Moses and Elijah. No, not yet. The two witnesses will be still left. God will leave Moses and Elijah preaching for 3.5 years. Nobody will listen. Nobody gets saved. They're killed. They resurrect. They're gone. And at that time, that's because the Antichrist will have set himself up on the mercy seat of the throne of God in the Holy of Holies. And he will claim to be God, and he will call for the death of anyone who didn't agree. And that's when the Jews go, you know what? I don't think he's God. And they'll read in the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke, and they'll see all the prophecies, and they'll go, you know what? Jesus was right, and we crucified our Messiah. And at that moment, the nation of Israel will get saved in one day. Because they'll see the Antichrist take over the temple of God that they had dedicated to the God Jehovah, and they see the Antichrist take over, and that's when they flee for their life. But 144,000 won't flee. They'll be the bravest men you've ever met. They will go into all the world and preach the gospel, and multitudes will get saved after the middle of the tribulation. So how many Christians will there be? I'm talking about believers, not just Moses and Elijah. How many Christians will there be from our rapture until the middle of the tribulation? How many will there be on the earth? Nil. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Nothing. But after the middle of the tribulation, under the most awful of situations, countless numbers will get saved. Revelation chapter 14, what happens to them? Verses 14, 15, 16, yes sir. That's that. As soon as we're out of here, they show up. All right? God just does that. God said to Ezekiel, go and preach. They are a very rebellious people and they will not listen, but I want you to preach anyway. Why did he send Moses to go and preach to Pharaoh, knowing that Pharaoh would not let them go? Yes. That's right. They will get through to them after they leave. It's kind of like nobody appreciates art until the artist is dead. And nobody will appreciate their preaching until they're gone. And that's true. Probably be the same when I leave and I die. And everybody will go, you know, he was a pretty good preacher. You know. Anyway, be too late then. So why does he have that? Because the Bible principle is he always has a witness. When men don't preach, the stars do. Okay? There's always somebody giving the gospel out, even when we're not. Okay? Yeah, you're getting complicated, and I don't know all the ins and outs. I know this. How many people believe the news media? I mean, whatever they say. And when we're gone, who's going to be left to explain what happened to us? Only two nutcases walking around in robes. And the news media. And the news media is going to say, aliens. Or whatever they want to say. And so the world's going to buy it. There will be some who don't understand. And the 144,000 Jews are going to go, like the Apostle Paul did, preaching and getting people saved, because they're going to go, you know what, I always wondered about what happened to those Christians. And that's how they're going to get saved. Okay? All right. Tribulation of believers, who's next? Who's got Scotty. Now, these last two raptures are the toughest raptures in the Bible. Did you have your hand up? Yes, ma'am. It's not that they've never heard, but maybe they haven't understood and they haven't actually rejected yet. Yeah, and I'm not able to judge. All I know is God says there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, He says He takes vengeance, He returns in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, so they can be ignorant, and have not obeyed the gospel. So, He will take vengeance on those who don't want to know and don't want to obey. But there are those who don't know and yet would obey if they got the gospel clearly, maybe. So, somehow, people do get saved. I think it'll be very hard to get saved in the tribulation. Is it easy now? I think it's easy. I think it's easy to get saved in the big scheme of things. Thank God we're not in the dark ages, where if you held the Bible, your home would be taken over. You'd be put in stocks outside, left out there for weeks on end, beat to death because you hold the Bible. So it's a whole lot easier to get saved now. But during the tribulation, you're going to have to run for your life. Yes, sir. Well, the Bible says He sends strong delusion, that they would believe a lie. So I don't have time to deal with. These are all good questions, and we always get deep into some of this stuff. All I know is this. They won't. Why they won't? All I know is the Antichrist comes in, and he's the smoothest talking politician ever. And he will make everybody think they don't need God. They just need to give him a little bit more power, give him a little bit more authority, give him a little bit more money, and he'll take care of the world's problems. Alex. Agreed. And I want to say, some people have, again, we're out of our scope where I want to talk, but let me just say the seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vials don't occur concurrently. They actually, those spread out across the 7 years. And the people who are dying in Revelation chapter 6 are actually during the second half. They're not dying during the first half. And I'll have to show it to you another time because I'd have to take too much time. I apologize. Or else we'll be here for a long time. But it's actually the second half that they're actually dying in. Nobody here in Revelation chapter 7, or Revelation chapter, where was I? Yeah, I was in chapter 14, but before that, Revelation chapter 7. Well, nobody in Revelation chapter 11. Nobody is mourning, grieving over the death of these two. The whole world is delighted. There's nobody that is alive and praising God and in churches. The church goes up in Revelation chapter 4. And then there's no mention of the church until Revelation chapter 19. And just give me another chance, another time to answer that, because I want to finish. But here, there are people who get saved and are still alive in the tribulation. Chapter 14, verses 14, 15, 16, Scotty. All right, now who does this guy look like? All right, so who liked to call himself that? Who was that? That's Jesus, all right? So Revelation chapter 1, it says, John looks and he sees amidst the stars, he says, one like the Son of Man. He looks like the human Jesus, okay? So this guy, Jesus, is sitting on a cloud. Go ahead. He's got a sharp sickle. What's a sickle? It's actually it's what you use. It's a bent metal piece on the end of a stick. that is angled so that you go through the wheat fields and you cut down the wheat. Now, it's just the easier way to cut wheat at the bottom. It's what a sickle is. So it's for harvesting. All right, now, this is, did we read down verse 16? Yes. This is Jesus snatching out of this world those believers who got saved during the last half of the tribulation. Just towards the end of the tribulation, Jesus will step down, gather people who have been saved. There are many Christians today who think that our rapture and this rapture are the same. But let me, to believe that, you'd have to accept that you're not, that you should endure to the end of the tribulation, because this is talking about two raptures that occur one after the other. Again, I wish I had a chart. I know, but I don't have any markers. There is a rapture, Scotty, right here of some people going unto Jesus, and then in the next verses, there's another rapture to Armageddon. So bam, bam. So this rapture, if we're supposed to go up in here, then we have to endure to the end. We have to keep from getting a mark of the beast. We have to look out for the coming of the Antichrist, and when he comes, we have to run for our lives. But that is not a doctrine for this dispensation. We don't have any business worrying about the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. Somebody showed me their Visa card and it had 666 on it. They go, do you think I should use it? I said, yeah. If it only had 666 on it, then maybe throw it away. But they have it's 15 digits on the thing, and in the middle it said 666 in the middle of the thing, and so they freak out. That number is building up to a time when that will be the main number everywhere. We don't have to, you know what we're supposed to be ready for? The catching away. We which are alive and remain will be caught up together to be with the Lord. Right after this verse, Marcus, let's look at the last one and we'll come back and talk about both of them. We have the rapture of the damned, verses 17 to 20. All right, hold there. So he's not harvesting wheat. What is this angel? And it's not Jesus, by the way. What is this angel gathering? Well, the remainder. But he's gathering all the grapes, and he's putting them into something called the great winepress of the wrath of God. All right, next verse. Verse 20. So about 200 miles, there is 5 feet of blood in a valley. That's how many people are killed, slaughtered in an instant. What is that called? The Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of Megiddo, is called Armageddon. So there's a rapture just before that destruction. There's a rapture of believers to get them out of the way. And then what is this rapture for? There are people over in New Zealand. There are people in America. There are people in Canada. There's people down in Chile, South America. God's got to get them all into one place. Where's the one place? Armageddon. Let's go to two other verses here real quick. Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. If you go to Matthew and then go backwards, you find a little book. Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Brother Dean. Joel chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. So he's going to bring all nations together so God can plead with them. It's going to be a very short plead session. Also find Zephaniah 3 and verse 8. Zephaniah to the right. A few books there, Emrio. Zephaniah, Z-E-P-H. We're almost through. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 8. Listen to what God says He's going to do with all nations. So next time you think of the United Nations and all the things they do, think of this verse. He's still looking for Zephaniah. It's in the Old Testament. You got it? 3:8.
Therefore, rain be upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I write off this place. For my intention is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdom, for upon them my
So he's going to gather all the nations by a rapture. So people sitting there minding their own business in New Zealand are going to disappear and then zoom, appear. And they'll be standing amongst a crowd of a couple of billion other people. And they're going to look up and they're going to see a light coming at them like a meteor. And it will be the worst moment of their life. And that is the second coming of Jesus Christ. So you have a rapture just before that. Come back here. You have a rapture where the believers are pulled out of the way. Just before judgment comes. And they sort of go up and they come with Jesus now into a war. You know, when I go up, I'm going home. I'm going to a mansion in heaven. I'm going up for the marriage supper of the Lamb and for an award ceremony, the judgment seat of Christ. But these guys, they're just pulled out of the way just before all hell literally breaks loose. So that's the dam. Can you imagine? Are all raptures good? No. They are not. They are not. Which rapture has your name on it? Now, at this point, Enoch's already come and gone. Elijah, Jesus. Do you want to try to stay around for the two witnesses and try to go up with them? Only to go up when they go up. Tribulation of believers, they will have been running for their life. Jesus said this, in that day, pray that your flight, that you're fleeing, will not be on the Sabbath. When the Antichrist sets himself up in the abomination of desolation, he says, endure to the end if you want to get saved, if you want to see the coming of Christ. And these guys will have to keep from getting the mark of the beast. They will not be able to buy or sell. Can you imagine having a baby during the tribulation and a child and you can't produce milk and you can't even go buy milk? And you will watch people trying to do right and they're dying, left, right, and center. Do you want to wait until then to get saved? It won't work. Or do you want to be stupid and say, oh, believe in God? Well, one of these days you will experience, if you live to it, a rapture. You'll get to experience a rapture, but it won't be what you think. It won't be what you think. You know, a little Bible study can sure put things in perspective where you say, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen? I'm glad I'm saved. I know, I remember 33 years ago, I remember laughing, thinking this woman was a true nutcase, telling me about Jesus Christ. I said, how can she believe a Bible? I'm glad she did. I'm glad she kept making fun of me. When I laughed at her, she made fun of me and laughed at me. Said I was chicken. I was a girl. My hair was down to here. She said, be a man. Come to church. Listen to the Bible preached. I'm glad somebody had the courage to shake and rattle my cage so that I could get into the right rapture. Let's stand and bow for prayer.